This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and in our Bismarck studio, our dear friend Sue Balcom. It's time for another episode of Main Street Eats. Sue, thanks for joining us.
I am happy to be here.
And, you know, it's that time of year where I'm walking to work and I'm sliding on ice the whole way and I'm walking home and I'm walking through puddles most of the way. There's been a little bit of a thaw and you start to see some grass peeking out.
The birds are back. The geese are squawking in droves. The deer are mating. The moose are pooping. It's all good, man.
And it's time to start thinking about gardening.
Absolutely. This is my absolute favorite time of the year. A, I was born in the month of March. And B,
happy birthday.
Thank you. People born in the spring have a tendency to be a little bit schizophrenic, which would explain all of these things that I like to do, starting with gardening. And now's the time to think about gardening. People have many excuses not to garden. They think that it's hard work. They don't see anything beneficial about eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables daily. But then there are those people who absolutely can't garden and would love to. And that's where community gardens come in.
And community gardens are, for anyone who's not familiar?
They are little plots of land that you can reserve. Let's say you live in an apartment complex and your landlord doesn't want you putting a tomato plant in his flower bed. There are designated areas, and I'm not sure of where all of them are in the state of North Dakota, but there are 4 in Bismarck. There are 6 in Fargo that are part of this really super good program that I'd like to just put in a plug for in a minute. There's 1 in Oneida, which is a tiny little town, 1 in Cheyenne, 1 in Grand Forks. I think Minot might have some. And Mandan has one that I was an integral part of starting probably about 10 or so years ago.
Oh, thank you for that. So are they plots that people are buying and tending to their own, or is it typically more like anybody can use the land but be respectful and then share the harvest and there's no money exchange, or is it?
Nope, it's actually kind of a little more organized than that because most of these lands are public lands. And so your best bet would be to kind of get a hold of an extension agent or someone at the park district and see if there isn't a piece of property not currently being used for sporting events and or parks. And maybe they would be willing to help you determine where there's a good spot for a community garden. And then somebody has to handle what we call a contract. And I know that's a terrible thing to say in the same sentence with the word garden, but you have to have accountability with a community garden. The plots are designated. You are renting a plot. The one in Mandan is like $25 for a 20 by 20 foot plot. It's tilled by the extension service, so you don't have to worry about tilling, so you don't have to buy any equipment. There's usually a water supply or water source there for you to use. You just need to abide by a few rules like what you can and cannot plant, whether you can use chemicals or not use chemicals. Do you have to bring your own hoses and or tools, or do they have a place that you have like community tools? So there are a few things that you need to know about community gardens, but it is so much fun.
What kinds of things might end up on the cannot plant list?
Well, you don't want to plant something like rhubarb because that's a perennial.
Okay.
And therefore, it would get tilled under every year. You know, because the whole plot has to be tilled under and then somebody goes out and squares it off for the people who are gardening in there. There might be rules against flowers. There's certainly going to be rules against things that pollinate themselves from year to year that could end up being a noxious weed, in somebody else's opinion, in their plot because they're right next to each other and you have to be really respectful of your neighbors.
Yeah, well, that kind of brings up a topic. There can be a little bit of a contentious debate about even just dandelions. Sometimes these are weeds and they use every measure they can get their hands on to get rid of them. And then other people make tea. They know that they're good for soil health and for bees and
Definitely for bees. That is one of the biggest things that has to be decided. And most of the people who garden are pretty much against the use of excessive chemicals. So you would have to actually maybe ask that the park district be a little bit respectful about not spraying near the community garden. And then as far as planting dandelions, I don't think anybody deliberately grows dandelion patches. Although I have seen some community garden plots that kind of look like that by the end of the year.
Parts of my yard
people don't go in and tend their gardens. And also one of the things that, you know, community garden does not mean that it's a free-for-all that anybody who walks by can help themselves. But there is that theft issue there. So we always had like a little rule about approaching anybody that you did not know in a community garden when you were out there working in your plot and saying, hey, hi, I'm, you know, plot number 64 over here. Who are you? To find out if they're actually supposed to be there or not.
Oh, okay.
You know, that is a big thing. However, then that would bring me to the Nola Storm and Jack Wood growing together gardens, of which there are six in Fargo. And I admire those two for doing what they do because they've started these garden projects for the new American population in the Fargo area. And they work tirelessly with these people in these gardens. They're huge. They're usually on a church property or some other, you know, nonprofit area of town. And they go in and they work with these people on planting these gardens. Everybody has to come on work days. They actually have potlucks in the field. And then everybody shares the produce. And it is a wonderful way to integrate these people into our community. And it's a wonderful way to get to know some people and maybe try some new vegetable varieties that we're not familiar with in the Great White North.
You know, you mentioned working with the park district that maybe they don't spray for dandelions or what have you near that plot. But what about aerial spraying from mosquitoes?
Boy, now you're talking about something I am not familiar with because on the west side of the river, it's usually too dry for mosquitoes and we do not spray. Now, I don't know. Is that toxic to plants? Apparently not, because there's people all over Fargo that have gardens, correct?
Yeah.
And the day I thought about doing this community garden thing, I did see a Facebook post. Whitney Oxendale, she worked with this
Oxendale.
Okay, sorry, Whitney. Worked with the city to create a list of safe spaces to plant gardens in the Fargo-Moorhead area. So there's an online resource now that actually encourages people to go out and garden, which is considered a lifetime sport, I think, isn't it? Something that you do forever that gets you bending down and doing downward doggy dives into the weeds.
I teach yoga for gardening class every spring.
What a brilliant idea. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to steal that from you, I think.
All right. Works for me. I'll teach you yoga for gardening and you give me your produce.
Oh, that sounds like a good trade-off. But yeah, community gardens are just really super, super, super good for any community. And look at all these small towns that have empty lots.
Yeah.
You know, what you want to do, of course, is investigate what's been on that lot. You know, you don't want to plant a garden on a spot where they might have been dumping
nuclear waste.
Right, or something from a, some kind of chemicals, any kind of chemicals like that.
Sure.
But there are plenty of places to plant. And in fact, planting a garden over a green area saves a lot of work on a lawn. Why would you mow a lawn when you could grow a garden, for crying out loud? It's important that we all feed ourselves, too.
Do you know, so you've mentioned these resources that are great for identifying land that's already available. What about if someone knows of land that would be a good candidate for establishing a community garden? Do you know that process?
What you would do, or what you could do, is go to see your local extension person. Go to the person who owns the land and ask if it's okay if you dig it up. Then I think if you put a something out on the bulletin board at your local restaurant or local church and say, hey, we're planning a community garden. Have a meeting and see if there's interest in the first place. Then you want to check to see whether you have somewhere to get water from. So the key would be a good piece of property, lots of sunlight, willing participants, and, of course, being able to get water there. The first year at the Mandan Garden, which is near the soccer fields and the rodeo grounds, we had to bring in a great big huge water tank that wasn't being used. And so the fire department would come and fill the water tank.
Oh, wow.
And then it was a gravity fed. And so you got lots of exercise walking back and forth with your buckets. Finally, my husband, this is how I got my husband to dig the first garden out at our house. He didn't want to have to drive to town and water when I was at work. And so he's finally like, okay, you win. We're digging up some dirt. And now we're, you know, building another high tunnel and we dug another garden. And I am just so excited because it's springtime. I can't wait to get out there in the dirt.
Well, I will join you. Sue, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ashley. It was my pleasure.